Father, we thank you now for this time you've given us together. Once again, we thank you for your word that we can open together and read and, Lord, present, Lord, to encourage each one that's come to Sunday school. We thank you, Lord, that we still have Sunday school here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord, time to be taught the word of God and get instruction, Lord, as how to go out and to live this week as we try to serve you. Father, bless now. Again, the Batten family, bless others that are sick, those that are hurting, those that are not here today. We pray your will be done in their life. And Lord, again, we ask your word to be blessed today as we read together, as we look at some of the ingredients of a New Testament church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Acts chapter 11, look at verse 25 and verse 26. First of all, we get back to more of this, but we're going to read these two verses first of all. Said, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's an outstanding verse to realize today what took place here as Christians began to give their name in Antioch. Again, the book of Acts is a very interesting book. We look at the book of Acts and we see the first record of the Gentile church. We know in Acts chapter 2, we find there on the day of Pentecost, the word of God was preached to the Jews. Primarily not to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. We also see it wasn't until Acts chapter 10 that the word of God was presented to the Gentiles there at the house of Cornelius, where we find there that Peter preached to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the headquarters of the church was in Jerusalem to begin with in Acts chapter 2 there at the day of Pentecost when the church began. Simon Peter, who was a Jew, he was a preacher that God used to preach the message, and thousands of people were saved, over 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. We see also that in chapter 10, Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles. He preached the gospel to the Gentiles as the church moved on. Now, the headquarters was changed now from Jerusalem to Antioch. In chapter number 11, we find that. The headquarters were changed. Another Jew named Saul of Tarsus comes on the scene, and he's the preacher to present the gospel to the Gentiles. So we see here a change of leadership. We also see a change of location of the headquarters of the church here now at Antioch, you see. So we see the first time and the first place in the Bible where children of God were called Christians. Christians. I'm thankful today that we have that title as Christians, aren't you? We're different people. Christians are believers. They're brethren. They're followers of Christ. You know, they're little Christ, you know. And we have that title, and it's a very special title that God has given to us as his children. And we see that name given out, first of all, here in Antioch. This name was a wonderful name. It is a wonderful name. And this name was divinely given by God to those believers. He gave them their name, Christians, little Christ, or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that this name since that day has stuck, hasn't it? It's still the same today, Christians. Christians, the name has stuck, and it's become a, if you want to call it, a badge of honor for us that know Christ. We call ourselves Christians, do we not? We're to be identified by the world who we are. And we do that by the life that we live. You know, we don't have to wear a badge saying I'm a Christian, but the life we live is going to prove to the world that we are or we're not as a Christian. So we see here this name was a special name given out by God, the name by which the Lord's people are known even today. God's people are known by what name? Tell me. Christian. Christian. God's people are Christians. They're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've accepted him as their Savior. They're living their life for him. And we see here, this is who we're called as Christians today. The name also, Christian, also identifies us with God and him with us. We identify with God and him with us when we say we are Christians. So this is a very special name here. And here at Antioch, we find that people were first called Christians. Now notice, They didn't give themselves that name. It was divinely given. It was divinely given because of their lifestyle, because of their belief and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Likewise, us today, that's the way it works with us. Now, so we see here, Antioch, now a long ways from Jerusalem, probably around 300 miles north of Jerusalem, we see Antioch here, and at Pentecost, thousands of people were saved. And now the church is moving out. I thought about 300 miles from here. If we go north, we're going to be in Virginia somewhere, aren't we? Or south in South Carolina. That's a long ways. Now listen, they didn't have the way to travel that we do today, but they scattered out, didn't they? The church began to spread out. We see this as a good thing here for the Lord Jesus Christ. But today we're going to look at some ingredients in this church in Acts chapter 11, the church at Antioch. It was a special church. It was a special place. It's northwest of Palestine, really. Antioch. There's two Antiochs found in the Bible. But this one is northwest of Palestine. It's where this church was. So we're going to look at verse number 19, first of all, as we try to focus today on the ingredients of this church in Antioch. What made this church what it was? What made it great? Why was it so God gave them the name of Christians? There must have been something special about that church, had it not? Something going on inside that church and the people's lives for God to give them the name of Christian, first at Antioch. Now look at verse number 19, first of all, we see the first ingredient here in this church in Antioch. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travailed as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Now what is the first ingredient here in this church? We see they were a preaching church. A preaching church. The word of God was preached to people. This is the key. This is the ingredient of a church. What good is a church, folks, that don't preach the word of God? Tell me. None. Because God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to what? Confound the wise, okay? And to enlighten people that who God is and who Jesus Christ is. It's the preaching of the word, preaching of the gospel that has drawn you by the Spirit of God to become a child of God. See? So we see the first ingredient of this church was it was a preaching church. A preaching church. Now, notice in verse number 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, what were they doing? Preaching what? The Lord Jesus. It's important that a church, first of all, is a preaching church, but also it's important that a church preaches what it ought to preach, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our primary object of the church, is to preach Him. Tell people about Jesus Christ, the greatest news in the whole world, folks, of a Savior coming and dying for the world. So we see here, the ingredients of a church here in Antioch, first of all, they were a preaching church, and they preached about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very, very important in a church. We also see, also down in verse number 21, we see something else about this church. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. A great number turned unto the Lord. They heard. Now, how did they hear? Some of those people come together, I'm sure, with the church, but a lot of those people did not. Those people in the church that were saved, they went out and told people about Jesus, did not. We see a soul-winning church also. Also a church, not only is a preaching church, they preach Jesus Christ, they're soul winners. And these people went out and told people about the Lord, and they came to trust Christ as their personal Savior, you see, because of their soul-winning efforts and their desire to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, ingredients of this church in Antioch, it was a preaching church. It was a preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a soul-winning church. It was a soul-winning church. Now notice also, down in verse number 22, again, then tidings of these things come into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. See, Jerusalem sent out Barnabas, see, to Antioch to preach. So we see here, this church also was an evangelistic church. It's the job of the church to send out people from our church to tell people about the Lord, be it missionaries, evangelists, whatever it is, all the means we can use to tell people about Christ. This is the ingredient in a church. We're not just to say, we're just sitting on Cato, North Carolina, we're going to tell nobody else. No, we're supposed to evangelize the world in the way we can, through radio, through upstream, through missionaries, any way we can to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church at Antioch moved forward in evangelism. Look down at verse 26. Verse 26 we read a while ago. And when they had found him, that is, Barnabas found Saul, when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass for a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church, and what? Taught much people. Again, this was a teaching church. A teaching church. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ, the New Testament church today, is a church that teaches. That teaches. That's primarily the purpose of Sunday school, is to teach boys and girls and men and women the Bible. Sad it is today, a lot of churches, quote, don't have Sunday school. Therefore, they don't have the teaching of the Word of God. Therefore, they're not grounded. They're not growing in the Lord because they're not being taught the Bible, the Word of God. I'm thankful that I came up in a church that had Sunday school, had good teachers, people that loved God, people that prayed for us as students, you know. And we come up in the church there. It's very, very important for a church to be a teaching church. Preaching and teaching the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very important. Don't get caught out. Don't get caught into a church that does not teach the Word of God. You're not going to grow. You're not going to be what you could be for God. When all you go is you go one service and that's it. I'm not taking away from preaching, but teaching is important also. Teaching is important also. We also see in Acts chapter 15, over there, a couple pages over, we find something else about this church. Acts chapter 15, look at verse 22. Then pleased it unto the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas named Barsabas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. We find in these verses here that the church of Antioch, again, was a missionary church. They sent out missionaries. Right on down through verse 27. Talks all about this, verse 22 through verse 27. So it's also important that a church, I ingredient a church, is a missionary church. I'm thankful that Fellowship Baptist Church supports around 100 missionaries to go out into the world and preach the gospel. This is the ingredient of a New Testament church. They preach the Word of God. They preach Jesus Christ. Again, they are evangelistic. They have missionaries. And then we find in Acts chapter 13, turn over to Acts chapter 13, look at verse 1. We find verse number 3, talked about all the church here at Antioch and how the prophets and teachers there as Barnabas and all them, their names were mentioned. And in verse 3 it says, when they had fasted and what? Prayed. When they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Ingredient of a New Testament church is a praying church. What can we do without prayer? Nothing, really. Prayer is the key, folks, to any church. Is pray. Pray for the ministers of the church. Pray for the workers of the church. Pray for everybody in the church, you see. So we see some of the ingredients of a church here, a New Testament church in this church at Antioch. Worship in this church was a great witness to the world around them that was not Christians. How do you know that? Because they were first called Christians here at Antioch. And again, they did not name themselves. God named them. And they recognized the people that will live there recognized that. Fellowship in the church today, folks, helps keep people accountable to the Lord and to one another. That's why it's so important to come to fellowship, come to church, to fellowship. To be accountable, first of all, to God and to each other. You know, when you're not here, you're missed. You know, we pray for you. We sometimes maybe call you, send you a card, a letter or something, because we miss you. We're accountable for one another, you know. It's good to know that. Godly fellowship edifies believers. Godly fellowship edifies believers. I mean, it builds us up in the faith. It encourages us when we're in God's house together. And to worship the Lord God there. We see, I thank God today that He has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. One day, And as us to the body of Christ, because he sees fit, through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to add to the church daily. He sees fit to do that. So we see here the ingredients of the church. The church is not just an organization, folks. The church also is an organism. It's growing. It's thriving, you see. So we see here the ingredients of a New Testament church at Antioch. Now, I want us to go back to Acts chapter 2. The mother church, the first church we see here, I want us to look at some of the things about this church also. Multitudes of people were saved at Antioch, but also multitudes of people were saved at Jerusalem when Peter preached the sermon there at Pentecost. Let's notice some things about this church, about these people here at the church in Jerusalem. In chapter number 2, I want to begin reading with verse number 41. Verse 41. Look at the people here in Jerusalem in this church. What kind of people were they? Notice it says, verse 41, they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Wow. Can you imagine 3,000 souls being saved at one day? Someone said, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, one sermon and 3,000 people were saved. Today it takes 3,000 sermons to get one person saved. You know, that's about the truth, is it not? The Word of God is the same, though. The Word of God hasn't changed. We have changed as people here, you see. So we see, first of all, something about this church, an ingredient about this church, about these people. These people were saved people. They were saved people. The Bible says, then they gladly received His Word, were baptized. Gladly receiving the Word of God. By faith, you trust Christ as your Savior, you see. First of all, we find these people were saved people. Saved people. Thank God today for being saved. Thank God for people in the church that are saved. There probably are people in the churches today that are not saved. And we want to pray for those people that they might get saved, you see. This is very important. A person in a church that's not saved can cause a lot of problems. But thank God for those people that are saved. They love the Lord, they love one another. And we have fellowship and worship God together. Notice also something about these people. The latter part of verse 41. And the same day, there were added to them about 3,000 people. We see here, they were separated people because they were baptized. They were baptized. Not only did they receive the word gladly, but they were baptized. That's a step after we believe and are saved, is it not? Our first step is to be baptized. To be baptized, that is to identify yourself with Christ. You become a separated person from the world and people that are in the world, because you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse number 42. These people at the church at Jerusalem, notice the ingredients in their lives. They were saved, first of all. They were separated. Verse number 42 says, and they continued what? Steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, you see here. So we see, first of all here, they were steadfast people. Paul tells us in the Word of God, therefore, my brother, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Steadfastness, that's being always there, always doing what you ought to be doing. Steadfast is very, very important in our lives as a Christian, as far as the church, New Testament church. People ought to be steadfast. That is, be faithful. Be here. Be accountable, you know, to what you say you are. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. Amen? And be steadfast to the Word of God, to the house of God, you see. So we see, steadfastness is very, very important. Notice also in verse number 43. Verse number 43, the Bible says, and fear came upon every soul. And fear came upon every soul. Can you imagine? I try to visualize being in a place where the Word of God is preached and 3,000 people are saved, and I'm one of them. How would I feel? How would you feel? The Bible says that fear came upon these people. Fear came upon every soul because of what God was doing. You know, I'm afraid today the fear of God in our hearts is gone. we don't realize what God does for us. Well, these people got saved. They were now children of God. And they recognized what God had done for them. And fear came upon their hearts. They were, if you want to call it, we're going to call it, they were sanctified. Our preacher mentioned that on Wednesday night. Sanctified. They were set apart now. They have a purpose now. They have a life now to live for the one who saved them because they trust him as their Savior, you see. So we see these people here at this church in Jerusalem, they were saved. They were separated. They were steadfast. And they were sanctified. They were set apart now. And they wanted their life to count for God. That's why fear came upon them, you know. Does it bother me? Does it bother you when we're out in the world and we see things that we don't want to see? People doing what they're not be doing, it bothers me. I know it does you too. But fear came upon those peoples now. And we find because of that what takes place later on, you see. Notice also, not only were they sanctified, but also in the last part of verse 43, the Bible says, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We find here they became spectacular people. In other words, we see many wonders and signs were done. They became part of something that was great. That was great, you know. I never forget. I went to a Christian college, and I like sports. I really do like sports. Any kind, don't matter. Not much on ice hockey and all that kind of stuff, but the basic sports anyway. But anyway, I never forget the day that we went, and I went there, and we went out to play, I think it was a baseball game. And our school was playing another school, of course. And it's my first time going to a baseball game where, quote, supposedly all people there were Christians. And I was amazed at the difference between, I used to go to high school ball games, these kind of stuff, the difference in the atmosphere, a difference in the people, open with prayer, national anthem, all these things, you know, we never did in public school, you know, and how the coaches came to one another and they had prayer before the game and all that kind of stuff. And it was just amazing, you see, the difference in the atmosphere, in the whole ball game, you know, there wasn't any, I'm not saying people didn't disagree some, but there was nothing that was knocked down, drag out, you know what I'm saying? People just went along, this is the game. This is the game, you see. What I'm saying is this, that you're amazed when you go where God is, where God's people is. It's a different world. You know as well as I know, in here today is a different world than it is out there, isn't it? It's much different, you see. And we find this is what happened to those people when they see all the people get saved, you know, and even they got saved themselves. And fear came upon them. We also see in verse 44 something else about these people. And all that believed were what? Together. And all that believed were together and had all things common. These were now single people. All that believed were together. They were like a big family now. Because people had trusted Christ as their personal Savior, you see. Brother Alford said it makes a difference to know that when a loved one dies, they're saved. It does. But it makes a difference to know that you're in a crowd. As far as you know, the majority, at least most of them, maybe 100% of them are saved. It makes a difference too. There's a singleness. There's something that bonds us together, unites us as believers. And it's the fact that we all trust Christ as our Savior. And we want to live for Him. See, there's a binding here of all God's people, you see. So there's a single people. In other words, they all believe, they all will all come together. Here on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, these people were. They were saved. They were separated. They were sanctified. They were spectacular people. They were single people. They were one. And also we see in verse number 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They were sacrificial people. They were ready to give what they have to those that needed it. Sacrificial people. My, what people they were. They loved the Lord, you know. People that love people, people that love the Lord love people, amen? God helps us to love people. And when there's a need, we're willing to sacrifice to do what we need to do. These people here at Jerusalem, they sacrificed. They were willing to sell what they had to help provide for those that had a need. You know, I say to myself, I have a lot of things in my house that I don't need. I don't know what you do or not. I have a lot of things that I could get rid of. You know? And my wife said sometimes, why would you sell it in the yard and say free? Somebody comes along and wants it, you know, let them have it. Because we don't need some things we got, you know. But these people were sacrificial people. They were willing to give anything they had to help provide the needs of those that had a need. You know? God help us today to be more sacrificial. We also see in verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. These people were spiritual. They continued daily. If I'm going to be a spiritual person, I have to continue daily. Daily in my life, I had to meet with God, pray and read my Bible, and talk to Him. If I'm going to be a spiritual person, I have to do it daily. It's not just on Sunday morning at Sunday school and church, or Sunday night or Wednesday night. It's daily, a daily walk with the Lord. And we find this here in the church at Jerusalem. This is all these things are what makes a New Testament church, folks. The ingredients, these kind of people, are in these churches. We also see in verse 47, praising God. Praising God. These people were singing people. These people were happy people because they knew the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Knowing Christ as my Savior gives me a song in my heart. I have a song in my heart now that I can sing because Christ lives within my heart, you see. These people were singing people. They were singing people. And because of all these things in Jerusalem here, these people, they were saved, they were separated. The Bible says they were steadfast, sanctified, spectacular people, single people, sacrificial, spiritual, and singing. Because of all this, last but not least, they were successful people. Successful people. We find in verse 47, the last part of that person, and the Lord did what? He added to the church, when? Daily, such as should be saved. This church was a successful church because of these people here in the Lord. And the Lord added to the church daily. I'm so glad today to know that it's God that saved. Amen? We're to get the word out there, but He gives the increase. But we see today ingredients in the New Testament church. It takes preaching, it takes teaching, it takes evangelism, it takes missionaries, all these things to make a church. I'm thankful today that you and I will bless folks to have the privilege to be part of that kind of church. We really are. And I thank God for the church, what it stands for, and may God help us to help it be better, because we too want to do what God wants us to do in a church. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us example in the Word of God of the ingredients in a New Testament church at Jerusalem and also at Antioch. Well, thank you to God that you've given this in your word to help us to understand what a church should be like and what a church should be involved in. And Lord, I thank you for that today. Lord, now help us as a church to grow. Help us, Lord, to be busy doing what you want us to do. Lord, in trying to evangelize and teach and preach. Lord, and be sanctified and set apart and be filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, have a song in our heart and all these things we talked about today in these churches. Lord, may that be evident in our life as we go forth even today. Lord, bless now the hour to come. As our preacher, the Word of God, once again, and all that's done, we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.